People are asking, Martin, do I need to go to the Evansville conference? What's happening in Evansville? And is it a separate conference from Indianapolis? It's a separate meeting. Evansville is not a conference. It's a happening. Evansville is in Dean and Amy Wilkinson's garage. It's going to be cool. You're going to meet new people there. You're going to see some garage people. I'm one of them. I'm a garage person. And that's going to be the 21st of September. It's going to be fun. But no, the main conference is in Indianapolis. So if you can only make it to Indianapolis, that's an extra day involved with Evansville. I understand that. It's a 3-hour drive. I thought it was 2. It's not. It's 3. If you want to go to both, you can. But are you going to miss something if you don't go to Evansville? Yes, of course you will. If you can swing it, come to both. I'm going to try to get some of the garage people in Evansville to go up to Indianapolis. That's my plan. Waylon and I are two of the garage people, and we will be going up to Indianapolis together. But I do want to see you Friday night at Andy May's house. He's going to have a cookout, all kinds of different meats on the grill. We're carnivores, but there will be other things for you there if you don't want meat. I don't know what, but I think there will be probably salad. And we're going to have some wine, some whiskey, and Waylon and I like to smoke an occasional cigar. I would love to join you for a cigar. You don't have to like cigars to smoke them. I don't. I smoke them because it's a happening. This is Martin Zender. You're at the Revelation Series. Now, I told you I was going to explain to you this Lo Ami business at the same place where Israel's called not my people. There, they are called the children of God. This concerns a poor guy named Hosea, who was told by God to take a prostitute as a wife. I think that would be bad. The sex might be good. I don't know. Prostitute would probably know a bunch of tricks. But still, I don't think that would be... I think that was a sacrifice. I think that Hosea couldn't believe what he was hearing. God says to him, if anybody thinks, God hates prostitutes... God says to Hosea, go take for yourself a wife of prostitutions and children of prostitutions, for the land has been committing prostitution, yea, prostitution. He had to say it twice. He says it 4 times. The word prostitution appears in chapter 1 of Hosea about 49 times. So he went and took Gomer. It's a heck of a name for a prostitute, the daughter of Diblaim. And she became pregnant and bore for him a son. Call his name Jezreel. This is a lot of trouble to make a point. God's just making a point. He could have done a PowerPoint presentation, but no. This is, I keep telling you about God. And I wouldn't do it this way. I would simply tell you, but no. It's not good enough. God has these drawn out, real time, real life, flesh and blood, blood, sweat and tears demonstrations. And so Hosea becomes a demonstration by marrying prostitutes. And then God names them. The children, the prostitutes already had names like Gomer and probably Barney and probably Andy and probably Floyd. Yahweh said to him, call his name Jezreel, that is the kid. For in a little while, I will visit the blood of Jezreel on the house of Jeru. He could have said, God could have, I will visit the blood of Jezreel on the house of Jeru. No, he has to have a kid by that name. God goes to a lot of trouble. Let me get to the point. Then she became pregnant again and bore a daughter. And God said to Hosea, call her name Lo Ruhamah. For I shall not continue further to have compassion on the house of Israel. This is for a time. This is for a season. Yet on the house of Judah, I shall have compassion. I'm pointing out the differences here also between the house of Israel and the house of Judah. She weaned Lo Ruhamah. That's interesting. Glad to know that. And she became pregnant again, naturally, and bore a son. Then he said, call his name Lo Ami. Here's the famous Lo Ami. For you are not my people. That's what that name means. You are not my people. I am not your I am becoming. And God's always developing. He calls himself, I am becoming. He can call himself anything he wants to, and he can do anything he wants to. He's God. And in the end, we just have to bow down to these things that he does and say, he's God, you're God, God, and we're not God. And so I would not recommend that we, tell or take wife of Never mind. Yet the number of the sons of Israel will become as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. It will be in the place. And now I'm finally going to do it. I'm going to go to the two sticks. It will be in the place where it was said to them, not my people are you. It shall be said to them, sons of the living El, in the same place. So you see, these people haven't changed. They haven't changed location. They haven't changed character. They're the same people. You're not my people until the day you are my people. Not my people. It shall be said to them. To them. It's not a different people. It's not like the replacement theologists tell us that God was done with that people and now he has a different people. And he's calling them, I am with you. He is calling them sons of the living El. No, he's calling the same people who are not his people. So this one passage blows up replacement theology, blows up the spiritual Israel crowd. Oh, we're spiritual Israelites. We're better Israelites. No, Israel is spiritual as heck, even when she, well, I was going to say even when she's in this Lo Ami state, even when she's in this not my people state, but that's not true. She is soulish. She's full of prostitutions. She's going after, you know, prostitution is really taking your energy and dedicating it to an unclean thing, dedicating it to an illegal thing. I'll say it that way, an illegal thing. And so Israel constantly did this. They weren't satisfied with their El, their God, their provider, their placer, their El Shaddai, the breasted one, the one who fed them in the wilderness and took care of them and comforted them even. No, they had to have other gods. So they went and found other gods, and God called it prostitution. So anyway, it shall be said to them, sons of the living El. And here's, look at this, verse 11 of poor Hosea. That's my name for the guy from now on. Chapter 1, the sons of Judah and the sons of Israel will be convened together. This event that I also read to you from Jeremiah 3, I'm not going to go back there because I'd have to close this and open it up because I don't know how to do this stuff at the same time. I don't know. I got problems. The sons of Judah and the sons of Israel will be convened together. They will place one head over them, and they will go up from the land. For great is the day of Jezreel. Jezreel. Yeah, that's enough. Verse 2, and of her adulteries from between her breasts. God just goes all out here. Now, I'm going to go to Jeremiah. No, I'm not. I'm going to go to Ezekiel 37 verses 15 through 28, and I'm going to show you finally the houses reunited. There was a civil war after the days of Solomon, and God split the kingdom, and I'm going to tell you why he did that. Because he wanted much of Israel out of the land before Jesus Christ came. This is my teaching. And so he had the house of Israel, which split from the house of Judah. They said, oh, we want a competing tabernacle. We think we're better. We're 10 tribes. You're only 2. You stay in Jerusalem. We're going to do a new thing. Yeah, we're going to branch out. We're going to have a branch office up in Samaria. And it's a competing thing. And it was not right, but God inspired it. So God purposely did it. It was a sin, but if you look at it in the relative viewpoint, in the absolute viewpoint, God absolutely, thus absolute viewpoint, he wanted this to happen. So he sends 10 tribes north to Samaria. He keeps 2 tribes like Benjamin and Levi and parts of another tribe. It's a bit of a admixture, but he kept them in Jerusalem. Now, to review again, the northern tribes were eventually captured and they went to Assyria. The southern tribes, years later, they went to Babylon. The southern tribes that went to Babylon, we know, came back after 70 years. They were in Jerusalem, and their descendants were in Jerusalem when Jesus Christ came. And they are the guilty ones of crucifying their Messiah. And they're the ones that brought a curse on themselves and said, his blood be on us and our people and our children. Ooh, that was a big mistake. Now, the house of Israel that went into captivity by the hand of the Assyrians, they never returned to the land. This is where you get the fabled lost 10 tribes. They were scattered among every nation of the earth. But the important thing is they were not in Jerusalem when Jesus Christ was there. They are not guilty of the blood of Christ. They're gone. They weren't there. So these are the people who are carrying at least the scriptures, even though they're misappropriating it, misapplying it, using it to condemn other people. I'll give them this. They're selling the Bible. but they're in a low Ami state. You know, they're not his people because they're perverting it. They're perverting the straight ways of the Lord, just like Bar-Jesus did, the magician in Paul's day. But there is, I was going to say there is hope for them, but this has nothing to do with hope. So for all these, it has to do with an expectation. It has to do with the prophecy of what God is going to do. And I'm telling you today what God is going to do. So for all these centuries, these two houses of the one nation have been, it's a giant civil war, and they've been separated. And the house of Israel has been lost even to itself. The house of Judah, these were the people sticking prayer requests into a remnant of a Roman fortress. They think it's the Wailing Wall. They're morons. They're spiritual morons. And I say that with all due respect. Now, the day approaches when the house of Israel is going to be reunited with the house of Judah. It will be the reunion of the eons besides us with Christ. But it's, actually, that's not a reunion because we've never been with Christ. We've never seen Christ. We weren't with Jesus before we were born. God didn't send us down to become a little embryo. No, we have never seen Jesus Christ. And so it's not going to be a reunion whatsoever. I'm not being reunited with Paul. I've never met the man. I'm not even going to be reunited with Tryphena and Tryphosa. I've never met the gorgeous twins from the Roman Ecclesia, but I will. It will be an introduction, not a reunion, but different with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. They're going to be reunited, and it will be the reunion of the eons. The chosen of the hidden Israel of the West, the hidden Israel of the West, actually a lot of them are in the West, but they are scattered to the North, South, East, and West. They will join again with the recognized Israel of the East that is limited to Israel, to the Holy Land. And these are the people that, you know, wear the black coats and the black hat, and they have the beards, and they say we're Israelites because they know they're Israelites. They can trace their genealogy, but they're just as screwed up as the other Israelites. Well, actually more. They don't even recognize their Messiah, so they're uber screwed up. Yeah, the house of Judah, the remnants of the house of Judah don't even, they're still waiting for the Messiah. House of Israel, they at least recognize that Jesus is the Christ. You might call these completed Jews. You know, and you go to 1 John 5:1, and you will see that that's really all that's needed to become a rank and file member of the circumcision. It's a little easier than Paul's gospel. Paul's gospel contains involves the death of Christ for sin. You have to know a little bit more about that. But 1 John 5:1, listen to this. Listen to this. Everyone who is believing that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God. In the sense of having aeonian life. Jesus is the Christ. Now, if Jesus is the Son of God, that's a little more technical, and those are the ones who are conquering. Anyway, maybe more on that later. Maybe. I'm not promising you that. So anyway, the hidden Israelites, they at least, you might call them completed Jews, even though they don't think they're Jews. But they act like Jews, as I've been saying. The West, the hidden house of Israel, will be joined with the recognized Israel of the East to partake jointly in the new covenant of God, supernaturally filled with the Spirit to fulfill the destiny that was first whispered to their common forefather, Abraham. Once again, God grants Ezekiel the honor of describing this phenomenon. This is the same chapter where he prophesied to the valley of dry bones. Now, this is from Ezekiel 37, verses 15 through 28. Here's what the church people subconsciously long for. The remnant pines consciously for it. Remember, the church people are in a state of mania. They're out there doing wonders, doing works, all wrong. Some are going to be called, one or two are going to be called from there, and they're going to be awakened. The remnant already is awakened. They're already aware something's going on. So they pine consciously for this reunion with their brothers, the two houses of Israel. I'm telling you, these houses have been separated since Solomon. That's how long this feud is, this civil war is. It's no longer a feud like the Hatfields and the McCoys because they can't shoot each other because they don't even know where they are. Anyway, this is Ezekiel 37, verses 15 through 28. I'm probably not going to get through this. I'll have to save it for tomorrow, the end of the week. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, And you, son of man, take for yourself one stick. Here's God doing this example thing. You know, he just can't tell you. He's got to take a stick, take another stick. It's very simple, really. Sunday school pictures, helpful. I do admit, I like these illustrations. I'm not too crazy about taking a wife of prostitution. That seems a little bit over the top to me, but it's not, because God did it. He thought it was necessary. Sticks, yeah. Take for yourself one stick and write on it, for Judah and for the sons of Israel, his companions. Okay, that's a kind of a large stick. He wrote on it with ink, I'm assuming. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel. Joseph came to be a representation of the house of Israel. He had a son, Ephraim, and another son, Manasseh, and all the house of Israel, his companions. Then, verse 17, join them for yourself, that is, for Judah, and another stick for the house of Israel. Join them for yourself, one to another. I picture popsicle sticks. This is what I'm picturing. Not giant, but relatively large popsicle sticks. So picture this, two popsicle sticks. Then join them for yourself, one to another, into one stick, that they may become one in your hand. When the sons of your people speak to you, saying, will you not declare to us what you mean by these? So apparently Ezekiel was to do this publicly in front of a bunch of people, and he wasn't supposed to say what he's doing. He's just supposed to take two sticks, right on one house of Israel, right on another house of Judah, put them together, and then not say a word, like charades or something. Then when the people say, what the hell are you doing? Will you not declare to us what you mean? And then verse 19, say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his companions, and I will put them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they will be one in my hand. Verse 20, the sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. Say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the sons of Israel, in case you didn't get it the first two times, from among the nations. Oh, this is new information. I'm sorry. Why am I critical of what God is writing here? I am evidence, ladies and gentlemen, that God is conciliated to the world. If not, I'm evidence that Jesus Christ saved me in my worst condition, and that God looks at me as he looks at Jesus Christ, because I have been struck by lightning. I'm sitting here telling you how I would edit this. It's ridiculous. Well, who the hell do I think I am? Anyway, say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side. This corresponds so perfectly with Jeremiah chapter 3, or in Isaiah 43. I will bring them from the north, south, east, west. Behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone. I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel, and one king will be king for all of them, and they will no longer be two nations, and no longer be divided into two kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols, their churches, their crucifixes, their statues of Mary, their free will doctrine, their eternal torment doctrine, their teachers they heap up in accord with their own desires. Those are their idols. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols or with their detestable things. All these things I mentioned are detestable. They're frickin' churches. They're statues. They're rosaries. And I'm not just picking on the Catholics here. They're Billy Graham's. They're stadium rallies. They're prosperity teachings. They will no longer defile themselves with these things, with these detestable things, with any of their transgressions. How do they transgress? They blaspheme the name of God among all the nations. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. Now we're going back to Lo Ami, and the exact same place with the exact same people that he said, you're not my people, there they will be children of God. Verse 24, my servant David will be king over them. I told you, David's rising from the dead. David is going to rise from the dead, and he's going to be king over them. Where? In Zion, the same place the guy lived when he was alive on earth. Same place. He's coming back to his hometown. And they will all have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them. They will live on the land that I gave Jacob, my servant, and it will not be any other land in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, they and their sons' sons, for the eon. That is the kingdom eon, the 1,000 years, and David, my servant, will be their prince for the eon. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It will be an aeonian covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst. This is the temple Ezekiel talks about in chapter 44, I believe it is, for the eon. For the eon, not forever. It's not forever. The King James says, I will place my temple in them forever. No, it's ridiculous. It's for the eon, singular, because forever and ever means that there will always be a temple. There will always be in subjection. There will always be this distance between God and man. Even in the kingdom, there's going to be a bit of a distance between God and humanity. This situation is intolerable forever and ever because it's going to give way to God becoming all in all, at which time, 1 Corinthians 15:28, there is no more need for rule. There is no more need for a temple system. There is no more need for a priesthood. A priesthood presupposes distance between the human beings on earth, or wherever they are, and God, because you need an intermediary. This is deplorable for eternity. It's acceptable for the eon, and that's what we're talking about here. I'm reading from the Concordant Version of the Old Testament. Verse 27, my dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. This is prophecy. It's not like, I hope you're going to be my people. I hope you'll accept me as your God. Please, please. I'm codependent. I can't love you unless you love me, and I'm sorry, but if you don't love me, I'm going to have to send you to an eternity of torment. No, I will be your God. You will be my people. This kind of eliminates human free will as a viable teaching. Verse 28, and the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst for the eon. Yeah, when my sanctuary is in their midst for the eon, then the nations will know that the whole time I've been on it, I've just been putting them on the back burner because I'm doing a new thing with the body of Christ. I've been on it the whole time. And don't worry about it, people. But I want to end with this. I'm going way long here. But this whole thing is, it's Israel, the house of Israel. See, you notice he doesn't say in here that the house of Judah has been scattered among all the nations. He says, say to the house of Israel, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side, bring them into their own land. That's the house of Israel. So house of Judah is in the land right now, and God put them there, but he's going to expel many of them because they're a bunch of fakers. They're doofuses. They don't even recognize their Messiah. But again, this is God's doing as well. And I really do honor God for what he does. I get funny sometimes. I go, well, I wouldn't have written it that way. But of course, I don't really believe that. I don't know what. But I honor God for telling Hosea to take a wife of prostitution. Sure. Sure. Why not? You want to make a demonstration with two popsicle sticks? Have at it. Yeah, you want to kill the entire population of the earth except for 8 people? You're God, I'm not. Go for it. You want to elongate things for 6,000 years before you complete, bring everything to completion? You're God, I'm not. Don't. I bow down before the wisdom of God continuously. Continuously. And in those areas where I don't, in those areas where I have doubts, in those areas where I'm still, you know, dumb old Martin Zender, may God help my unbelief.